Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Ete Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paskachada Zatarane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paskachada Zatarane Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadha Sri Vasadi Bhakta Vrindam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadha Sri Vasadi Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Jaya Vishnupada Paramahansa Bhaktacharya Asota Sata Sri Srimad Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Gita Jaya. Jaya Vishnupada Paramahansa Bhaktacharya Asota Sata Sri Srimad Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti, Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Namachari Sri Haradasta Kaur Ki. Premisakaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gopakta Vrinda Ki. Vrindavan Dham Ki. Mayapur Dham Ki. Dwarka Dham Ki. Yamunamai Gangamai. Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki. Sri Sri Radha Madhava Ki. Asta Shakis Ki. Panchatapta Ki. Sri Sri Gordon Sringadev Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Gopramanandi, all glorious symbol devotees, all glorious symbol devotees, all glorious symbol devotees, all glorious Sisi Guru and Guranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're starting a new chapter, Canto 8, Chapter 11, Text 1, but Chapter 12. Mohini Murti Incarnation Bewilders Lord Shiva. There's a lot of reading here, so be patient with me. The chapter describes how Lord Shiva has bewildered upon seeing the beautiful Mohini Murti incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and how he later came to his senses. When Lord Shiva heard about the pastimes performed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, in the form of an attractive woman, he mounted his bull and went to see the Lord. Accompanied by his wife, Uma, the servants, the Bhuta, Gana, a ghost, he approached the lotus feet of the Lord. Lord Shiva offered obeisances to the Supreme Lord as the all-pervading Lord, the universal form, the supreme controller of creation, the super soul, the resting place for everyone, and a completely independent cause of all causes. Thus he offered prayers, giving truthful descriptions of the Lord. Then he expressed his desire. The Supreme Personality of God is very kind to his devotees. Therefore, to fulfill the desire of his devotee, Lord Shiva, he expanded his energy and manifested himself in the form of a very beautiful and attractive woman. Upon seeing his form, even Lord Shiva was captivated. Later, by the grace of the Lord, he controlled himself. And this demonstrates that by the power of the Lord's external energy, everyone is captivated by the form of the woman in the material world. Again, however, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can overcome the influence of Maya. This was evinced by Lord Shiva, the topmost devotee of the Lord. First he was captivated, but later, by the grace of the Lord, he restrained himself. It is declared in this connection that only a pure devotee can restrain himself from the attractive feature of Maya. Otherwise, once a living entity is trapped by the external feature of Maya, he cannot overcome it. After Lord Shiva was graced by the Supreme Lord, he circumambulated the Lord with his wife, Bhuvani, and his companions, a ghost. Then he left for his own abode. Sukadeva Goswami concludes this chapter by describing the transcendental qualities of Uttama Sloka, the Supreme Personality of the Godhead. By declaring that one can glorify the Lord by nine kinds of devotional services, beginning with Shravana Kirtanam, text 1 through 4, and we're going to add a couple more by special request. So I'm just going to read the English. Translation, Sukadeva Goswami said, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, in the form of the woman, captivated the demons and enabled the demigods to drink the nectar. After hearing of these pastimes, Lord Shiva, who was carried by a bull, went to the place where Madhusudana, the Lord, resides. Accompanied by his wife, Uma, and surrendered by his companion, the ghost, Lord Shiva, went there to see the Lord's form as a woman." That's 1 and 2. 3. The Supreme Personality of God welcomed Lord Shiva and Uma with great respect, and after being seated comfortably, Lord Shiva duly worshipped the Lord and smilingly spoke as follows. Shri Madhadeva Vacha Deva Deva Jagat Upan Jagadishwaya Jagan Maya Sarveshwar Api Bhavanam Tvamatma Hitir Ishvara. Shri Madhadeva Vacha Deva Deva Jagat Upavin Jagat Isha Jagan Maya Sevasyam Api Bhavamam Tvam Atma Bhitir Hishwaraha Shima Deva Vacha Deva Deva Jagat Upavin Jagadisha Jagan Maya Sarvesham Api Bhavanam Hitvam Atma Hitur Ishvaraha.
Shri Madhadeva Vacha
Ladies. Shri Mahadeva Vacha. Lord Shiva Mahadev said, Deva Deva, O best demigod amongst the demigods, Jagadupapin, O all pervading Lord, Jagadishaha, O master of the universe, Jagadmaya, O my Lord, who are transformed by your energy into this creation. Sarveshamapi, all kinds of bhavanam, situations, tvam, you, atma, the moving force, hituhu, because of this, Ishvara, the Supreme Lord Parameshwara. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Mahadev said, O chief demigod amongst the demigods, O all-pervading Lord, O master of the universe, by your energy you are transformed into the creation. You are the root and efficient cause of everything. You are not material. Indeed, you are the supersoul or supreme living force of everything. Therefore, you are Parameshwara, the supreme controller of all controllers. Please repeat. Mahadev said, O chief demigod, amongst the demigods, O all-pervading Lord, master of the universe, by your energy, you are transformed into the creation. You are the root and efficient cause of everything. You are not material. Indeed, you are the super soul, or supreme living force of everything. There you are, Parameshwara, the supreme controller of all controllers. Okay, we're going to do a lot of reading here, so please bear with me. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, resides within the material world as the Sattva-guna avatar. Lord Shiva is a guna, tamaguna avatar, and Lord Brahma is the rajaguna avatar. But although Lord Vishnu is amongst them, he is not in the same category. Lord Vishnu is Deva Deva, the chief of all the demigods. Since Lord Shiva is in this material world, the energy of the Supreme Lord Vishnu includes Lord Shiva. Lord Vishnu is therefore called Jagat Upayi, the all-pervading Lord. Lord Shiva is sometimes called Maheshwara. So people think that Lord Shiva is everything. But here Lord Shiva addresses Lord Vishnu as Jagadishaha, the master of the universe. Lord Shiva is sometimes called Ishvishvara, but here he addresses Lord Vishnu as Jaganmaya, indicating that even Vishvara is under the Lord Vishnu's control. Lord Vishnu is the master of the spiritual world, yet he controls the material world also, as stated in Bhagavad Gita. Mayadhyakyayashena parakriti sriyati sarachityaram. Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma, and Lord Shiva are also sometimes called Ishvara. But the supreme Ishvara is Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna. As stated in Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Paraman Krishnan, the supreme Lord is Krishna, Lord Vishnu. Everything is in existence works in proper order because of Lord Vishnu. Adantarashtya Paramanu Chayantarashtya Jishyam. Even Paramenu, the smallest atoms, work because of Lord Vishnu's presence among them. Text 5. The unmanifest, Lord's false ego in the beginning, maintenance and annihilation of the cosmic creation, manifestation, all comes from you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because you are the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Absolute Spirit Soul, the Supreme Brahman, such changes of birth, death, and sustenance do not exist in you. Purport. According to Vedic mantras, Yato Va Imani Bhutani Jayanti, everything is an emanation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Bhumirapo Nayo Vayo Kamayan Bhudir Devacha Ahankara Ityamme Vini Asakir Astadahi. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, my intelligence, false ego. Altogether, these eight comprise my separated material energies. In other words, the ingredients of the cosmic manifestation also consist of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This does not mean, however, that because the ingredients come from him, he is no longer complete. Purnasya Purnam Adya Purnam Vyasyate, because he is a complete whole. Even though so many complete units emanate from him, he remains a complete balance. Thus the Lord is called Avyaya, the inexhaustible. Unless we accept the Supreme Absolute Truth as Achinta Bheda Bheda, simultaneous one and different, we cannot have a clear conception of the Absolute Truth. The Lord is the root of everything, Adham Adir He Devanam. He is the original cause of all the devas, or demigods, Aham Sarvasya Parmanandaha. Everything emanates from him. In all cases, nominative, objective, positive, negative, and so on, whatever we may conceive in this material, entire cosmic manifestation is in fact the Supreme Lord. For him, there is no such distinctions as this is mine, this belongs to someone else, because he is everything. He is therefore called Avyaya, changeless and inexhaustible, because the Supreme Lord is Avyaya, he is the Absolute Truth, the fully spiritual Supreme Brahman. Text 6. I've been asked to add a few more texts here because there's so much purports and it's not proper for the next speaker to have so much. Pure devotees are great saintly persons who desire to achieve the highest goal in life, who are completely free from all material desires for sense gratification, engage constantly in the transcendental service of your lotus feet. Purport. One is in the material world when he thinks, I am this body, and everything that with reference to my body is mine. Ato griha chetra utap Janasya Maho Yam Aham Maniniti. This is the symptom of material life. In the materialistic conception of life, one thinks, this is my house, this is my land, this is my family, this is my state, and so on. But those who are Munayaha, saintly persons following in the footsteps of Narada Muni, simply engage in a transcendental loving service of the Lord without any personal desire for sense gratification. Anabhilasta sasunyam anjana karmati avrititam. Either in this life or in the next, the only concern of such saintly persons is to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, they are also absolute because they have no other desires. Being free from the dualities of material desire, they are called Shresha Kamana. In other words, they are not concerned with dharma, religiosity, artha, economic development, kama, sense gratification. The only concern of such devotees is moksha, liberation. This moksha does not refer to becoming one with the Supreme Lord, like the Mayavadi philosophers. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained the same. The real moksha means taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord clearly explains this fact while instructing Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya wanted to correct the word muktipad in Srimad Bhagavatam, but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informed him that there is no need to correct any word in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He explained that muktipad refers to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, who offers mukti and therefore is called Mukunda. A pure devotee is not concerned with material things. He is not concerned with religiosity, economic development, or sense gratification. He's interested only in serving the lotus feet of the Lord. Seven. Oh, my Lord, you are the Supreme Brahman, complete in everything. Being completely spiritual, you are eternal, free from the material modes of nature, and full of transcendental bliss. Indeed, for you, there is no question of lamentation. Since you are the supreme cause, the cause of all causes, nothing can exist without you. Yet we are different from you in a relation of cause and effect. For in one sense, the cause and effect are different. You are the original cause of creation, manifestation, and annihilation. And you bestow benedictions upon all living entities. Everyone depends upon you for the results of his activities, but you are always independent. Purport. The Supreme Personality of God says in Bhagavad Gita, Maya Titam Idam Sarvam Jagat Avraktya Mutitan Mat Stai Sarv Bhutani Na Chayam Teshu Avastitaha. By me, in my unmastered form, the entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. This explains the philosophy of simultaneously oneness and difference, known as Avcheta Beta Beta, Achinta Beta Beta Tattva. Everything is in the Supreme Brahman, the Personality of Godhead. Yet the Supreme Person is differently situated from everything. Indeed, because the Lord is differently situated from everything material, he is the Supreme Brahman, the Supreme Cause, the Supreme Controller, Ishvara Paramananda Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha. The Lord is the Supreme Cause, and his form has nothing to do with the material modes of nature. The devotee prays, as your devotee is completely free from all desires, your lordship is also completely free from desires. You are fully independent, although all living entities engage in your service. You do not depend on the service of anyone. Although this material world is created completely by you, everything depends on your sanction. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Mataha, Smritir, Janam, Apohanam, Cha, remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness come from you. Nothing can be done independently. Yet, you act independently of this service rendered by your servants. The living entities depend on your mercy for liberation. But when you want to give them liberation, you do not depend on anyone else indeed. By your causeless mercy, you can give liberation to anyone. Those who receive your mercy are called Kripa Siddha. To reach the platform of perfection takes many, many lives. Bahonam Jamanam Anti Chanavan Mam Pravanyate. Nonetheless, even without undergoing severe austerities, one can attain perfection by your mercy. Devotional service should be unmotivated and free from impediments. Achutiki Apritiyata Sayatma Sarvasyadati. That is the position of Naras Shishaha, or freedom from expectations for results. A pure devotee continuously offers transcendental loving service to you, but you may nonetheless offer mercy to anyone without depending on his service. Whew. Sorry about that. That's where I'm going to stop. In any case, I want to comment on the whole thing about desires that came from the last class. Prabhupada sums it up very simply, that if you're desiring independently of Krishna, it's Maya. And if you're surrendering and you're depending, your desires relate to Krishna, will help Krishna in any way, ultimately that is the perfection. And so if your desire isn't correct, now this may be, there was a question yesterday, what happens if your desire is not correct? How do you know you're not pleasing Krishna? I give a little story. I at one point was in a mode of complete ignorance. I still am. But in this particular mode, we were trying to do a manifestation of something really tremendous, big project. And so it came down to one last signature, and this thing would happen. And the whole idea was 10,000 acres in Dwarka, a whole brand new city development. I was designing a whole Vedic city at that time. And so the part of the plan was to put a new harbor in, bring in bigger ships, because India's got a small harbor. So most of the ships go by, they don't even stop. So it was all done. We talked to the harbor master, the Gujarat hierarchy, and all these people who were so important about that time. And it was all a matter of money and one signature. And it didn't happen. One signature never happened. And so it wasn't sanctioned by Krishna. So had it been, it would have been a whole diversion going off into a whole other realm. So if it doesn't happen, if your desire, you have so many desires, we all have desires. And the whole point is at some point get desire less, no desires, that we can actually be eligible to go back home, back to Godhead. It depends on that. No desires, none. So if we have any desires, even if we're pleasing Krishna with the desire, you have to note, if he's really pleased, then that means ultimately your desire gets fulfilled. It may mean distributing more books. It may mean cooking better prasadam, whatever it may be. It's related to Krishna, ultimately perfection guaranteed. So in my history as a devotee, I've accomplished a few things, but only by the mercy of the Lord. And so by the mercy of the Lord, a layman can climb mountains, and ultimately that happens. If you're a layman, blind, deaf and dumb, ultimately you can be eligible to do something. I'm a case of that. So back to the chapter. Now this whole chapter, beginning from the purport in the first introduction, it was stated basically that Lord Shiva is giving all these beautiful prayers, which we heard some of it. And so he's enunciating all the beautiful qualities of Krishna. And so it goes on for the whole chapter. And so he delineates all these qualities of Krishna, being omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, whole list of omnes. He's everything. There's nothing he is not. So if we try to describe Krishna, it goes on forever, and we can't do it. If Ananta Sesha can't do it, what can we do? And so, but we try. And so and Lord Shiva has given his direction now. He's in the verses that come in the follows. There's a lot of long purports. I think you just take it more what you can do and not try to do everything. And so with these long purports, it's all Lord Shiva's describing Krishna's different qualities. So to sum up the whole chapter, it means to find out exactly what takes place towards the end. And so now Krishna is about to manifest himself again as Mohini Murti. As we've read, that Lord Shiva comes along on his bull and decides that he wants to see it. So he's heard. Now he's heard that the demigods got the mercy, and that this mercy just flattened the demons. And Prabhupada says later in this chapter, he said, demons are attracted intensely by the form of a woman, and devotees are not. And that's why the demigods weren't attracted to Mohini Murti's form, but the demons were. So Lord Shiva now is in the act of trying to understand what that whole incarnation is all about. So I'm going to flash forward a little bit. So Lord Vishnu says, now listen, I want you to be cautious, because I'm going to tell you something right now. You may be embarrassed because you may not want to evoke the lusty nature of you. It wouldn't may happen. I can't guarantee what you're going to react to, but it may not be good. And so he's already telling Lord Shiva he's going to see something he's not expecting to see. So now by the side of Shiva is Uma, different names, but given Lord Parvati, Lord Durga. So he's got Durga right by his side, and she's the controller of loser energy. So he's not affected by Durga. That's his wife. But now Krishna is thinking, what can I do now to attract Lord Shiva? And so he's thinking in terms of how to go ahead and make this thing happen. He wants to see this beautiful form of Mohini Murti. He's okay. Now, just remain here. So he disappears for a while. He comes back in the form of Mohini Murti bouncing a ball. And we've heard stories about how this happened, what takes place with Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva is immediately captivated by this new energy. So this is Mohini Murti superimposed on a high level of lusty nature that evokes in Lord Shiva. Any case, so he sees this. He sees this woman playing with the ball and bouncing, and her clothes are getting loose and her hair is coming down, and it's only enhancing her beauty. And so the beauty of this beautiful form of Mohini Murti is now described in great detail later in the chapter. And so he's captivated. So Lord Shiva grabs a hold of Mohini Murti, and she pulls away from him and runs. So meanwhile, her clothes are coming off. So now she's running naked. And so Lord Shiva is chasing her, and Mohini Murti goes all the way through the different places where devotees are located doing tapasya. So all the dhams. So there may be, so that's just to show all these sannyasis and these sadhus that Lord Shiva is chasing this woman. And so they keep chasing. It goes on and on through mountains and all over the place. So finally, he loses it. He discharges. And that discharge becomes gold and silver mines on the earth planet. So if you're chasing gold and silver, you're just chasing Lord Shiva's emanation. And they may land at someone here in Mayapur, who knows. But when we were digging, excavating for the samadhi, there was no gold or silver. So I don't think any's here. I don't know. So in any case, after the discharge happens, then the lusty nature in a man starts to decline. So, and it goes on that Mohini Murti changes back into Krishna's form. And so he sees that he hasn't got any lamentation, or he's not agitated any longer, and he's not sorrowful about what had happened. And so because of that, Lord Shiva was embraced by Vishnu, and ultimately it was back to normal again. Now, I want to tell a couple stories that illustrate this point and make it a little enlivening, maybe. In Vrindavan, I was there for 40 years, and many mystical things took place. And so on one occasion, I'm doing prikkam around Govardhan, around Vrindavan, and here's a lady with no clothes on, very old lady, but still very, very, very beautiful, but no clothes. And so I thought, my God. Now we see Nagababas, but you don't see ladies with no clothes walking. In any case, she was just walking around aimlessly, wandering what we were buying is who knows where. Could have been a very exalted personality. I just walked by. And then later, a few months later, again it happened. Another lady, just walking with more conviction and fully aware of what she was doing, but also naked. And so these things do happen on occasion. Women get lost and they just do what they don't normally would do. So in any case, and a third time it happened. I'm doing parikrama in Jaipur, going around the park, and I got my rounds done. I'm thinking, okay, now I'm fixed up. I got my rounds finished. I'm ready for the day. What comes up is another naked lady. This time, very young, very beautiful, and very appealing. And just looked at me, and I didn't have any. All I had on was a gumshoe. I couldn't offer any clothes. She just walked by, and so you got to be careful in the material world, because ultimately Maya is very strong. In the form of a woman, can be very intoxicating. So according to, if Lord Shiva is intoxicated, then what to speak of all of us? So the whole premise of doing devotional service is to rely solely on the mercy of the Lord, so that we don't fall sway to, you know, what happens. And accept blessings just as they come, not to be disturbed, and take whatever is available as the mercy that's available, and just go on with devotional service. So, a little bit about the binding force of lust and anger and greed and sex life. So, in the material world, you may be confronted with this at different times. You never know what's going to happen in the material world. So, Prabhupada warns us not to sit in a solitary place with your mother, sister, daughter, any female. Very dangerous. So, the premise of the story, basically the conclusion of the whole chapter, is that Lord Shiva, who is considered to be Ishvara, is controlled by Vishnu. So Vishnu's control is permanent, omnipresent, omnipotent, and certainly available to everyone. And so, by Lord Shiva being seen this, that it, for those people who worship Shiva, it's a story in itself. And then at the end, this time factor is affecting everybody. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Vishnu is exempt because he's Vishnu. And so now the time factor is by Durga and Vishnu in play with the time factor, so they do the whole thing. So the devotees, sums it up, and the devotees who are influenced by Mohini Murti, devotees are always protected. So ultimately there's no problem about falling into Maya if you're attracted to Mohini Murti as a devotee, and devotees don't fall into Maya, hopefully. So I'm going to pause here because it's Ramanujacharya's festival today. And I'd like to put this out in the audience. Anybody who has any stories of Ramanuja like to narrate? Here's the speaker. Anybody want to talk? Anybody know any stories of Ramanujacharya? Nobody? There must be somebody. We got 15 minutes. We can still do something here. My computer froze, and I didn't have access to the computer. So, in any case, if there's nobody, I'll just tell a couple of stories. It was Ramanuja. Well, go ahead, read from it. Here's a pass. No, you read. I read so much already. You go. No, you read it.
Hare Krishna. Sri Ramanuja Charya Ki. Oops, I need my glasses.
Speak loud and close to the mic.
So Ramanujacharya, he appeared around 1017 of the Christian era. So that is about almost 1,000 years ago. And he left this world at 1137. So that means he was 120 years on the planet. So he was an important philosopher for Sri Vaishnavism. And, you know, I guess all of us know some of the things he's of his pastimes in Leela. I'm just skipping through this because it's very long. Who knows where he was born? No South Indians here, huh? In Chitrai Tiruvadirai. Where is this place? Anyone familiar? Anyway, in South India. So he... Let's see.
You can summarize if it's too long.
Okay, let's go to the Vincent and Life of Sri Ramanujacharya. Within 16 years of age, he had mastered all the Vedas and Shastras at age 16. So then at 17, he married, and he was residing in Tanjanmala. That says Tamil in that area. This is poorly written. They didn't write this one very well. Trying to get to the point where he finally takes sannyas.
I can tell one story while you're looking.
Okay. Anyway.
There was a moment when he was unified with a bunch of dacoits, and so they were a joint effort to raise some money for a temple he wanted to construct, or he needed money. So he engaged all these dacoits to help him with the plundering. And ultimately, after the work was done, he took them all for a boat ride. He sank the boat, and he could walk on water, but they couldn't. So they all drowned. He drowned all these dacoits. That's the same. Then there's another one where his spiritual master told him not to say this mantra to anybody. It's a secret mantra. If you chant this mantra, you get liberation. So the first thing he does, he goes to the highest town, highest building in town, and starts screaming a mantra out. Oh no, Bhagavate Vasudevaya! That wasn't a mantra, but anyway, this guru was really upset and said, "What are you doing? I told you not to tell anybody." Said, "Well, if you can captivate everybody and it's going to bring liberation, it should be for everybody." You're right. I was wrong. You're okay.
Okay, here's one pastime. It says, once some kids were playing on the road pretending to construct a temple. Nice kids, huh? Installing an idol of the Lord, offering fruits and flowers, etc. All the time using the dust on the road for their purpose. They offered some mud as prasadam to Ramanuja, who was passing along. He received it with due respect. He remembered in this connection the words of Alar, who said the Lord took whatever name and form his sincere devotees wished, and in the instant case to the kids were only playing, they sincerely believed that they were doing. So he honored that.
And there's another one.
As prasad and ate it.
And there's a ship that got stuck out in the river. And so by waving cloth, and you got the guy to move the ship and got free from the sandbar. And so the captain of the ship said, "You can take anything you want from the ship. All I want is a big piece of chandan." And so that was a deity inside, and only he could lift it. And so he understood who was in that chandan. In any case, I think we can conclude because we don't have real force on this. So, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanandi, hari hari bom.